I also wanted to say how happy I am to be back in Christchurch. We're in New Zealand. We have many nice memories which pull the heartstrings and bring us back to places like this where we have served the Sankirtan movement of our spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as myself and Kalas and Sri Prahlad and Bhattahari were driving around, we were noticing certain landmarks, you know, where we had done Sankirtan or we had given a talk or a lecture, and it was very nice and very rewarding. I think perhaps the most exciting moment of my trip here to Christchurch so far was when we drove down Beeley Avenue. I don't know, as I get older, my memory's starting to fade, but I don't know, I just always remember Beeley Avenue. 87? 85. Okay, that's pretty good. 83. So I'm four numbers off. It's pretty good for being 67 years of age. We call it senior moments. I think for me the most special moment of my visit here so far was we drove by 83 Beeley Avenue, which for myself the last 5 years has been a vacant lot. It just tears the heart apart. Remembering that beautiful old building we had there with very beautiful Gornitai, the very best Gornitai in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I always remember how they were leaning back. I thought, how did they carve them like that? It was a unique pose. And what brings out the beauty of the deity is the worship of the deity. How is that? Because Krishna says, all of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So what's the reward? The reward is the Lord reveals himself to his devotee. That's there in our prayer to Jagannath. Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatume. O Lord of the universe, kindly be visible unto me. We're living in a very impersonal world, fraught with voidism and impersonalism, Nivishesha Shunyavadi. And we hanker to reestablish our lost relationship with our beloved, with Krishna. So, through the process of devotional service, the Lord agrees to reveal himself to his devotees. So those deities, those Gornitai deities, they weren't just any deities. I don't think you can actually say something like that. Any deity, all the deities are absolute. Prabhupada said one time, Archavigraha translated means the mercy incarnation of the Lord. Why? Because God is so great. He's the Virata Rupa, but out of his kindness, he can become so small that he fits in the hand of his devotee, so his devotee can worship him. How kind is Krishna? And when the deity comes, then he stays. There's some deities in India that have been worshipped, I know, since Satya Yuga. There's a deity, Udupi Krishna, was carved for Rukmini in Dwarkadish because Krishna would go from Dwarka and she would feel separation. So Vishwakarma carved her this beautiful deity, still being worshipped in Udupi today, 5,000 years. And there's a deity of Lord Nrisingadev at Nrisingapalli in Mayapur that they say appeared, or rather self-manifested. Nrisingadev stopped on his way back to Vaikuntha after killing Hiranyakashipu. He was flying back to the spiritual world, and he flew over Mayapur, and he understood that in Kali Yuga, he would appear there as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So out of curiosity, he flew down to Navadvipa Mayapur Dham, and the demigods created a lake for him to take a refreshing bath. And as he was leaving to go back to Vaikuntha, because the devotees who saw him immediately fell in love with him, so he self-manifested as a deity, a stone, so-called stone deity, in that place, Nisringapalli. So devotees, they go there to have his darshan. So he's still there. This is Archavigraha. He's great, but he comes small so we can worship him, and he sticks around. Unfortunately, this is the material world, and accidents do happen, and our beloved Gornitai disappeared from our vision. They weren't broken. You can't break the Lord. This is what the Muslims were thinking when they were coming to India. They were destroying the Hindu gods by breaking them. You can't break Krishna. He doesn't stop existing when you break the deity. So Gornitai didn't actually leave Christchurch. They just took a vacation in Auckland for a while. Because by his supreme will, by his supreme arrangement, he's the knower of all phases of time, past, present, and future. Even a jiva, by the mercy of the Lord, is able to see past, present, and future. Tri Gyanakala. Gyana means knowledge. Three, Gyanakala. Tri Gyanakala. Three phases of time. A devotee can see past, he can see the present clearly, and he can see into the future. Not like Nostradamus, who was speculating. It's a big word in the Gurukul. The boys, when they hear speculation, they say speculating. So Nostradamus was speculating. Like those who are Tattvadarshi, whose hearts are pure and whose Krishna prema has awoken by the grace of the Lord, they can see. So obviously, the Lord could foresee the future, and how much his devotees loved him here, how famous he was, how nicely he was served. So he expanded himself in the very beginning, knowing the earthquake would take place and that form would disappear. It's like twins. I don't know the history in detail. I'm sure you know it better than me, but a devotee, Jayashila, he saw how beautiful these deities were, and he wanted a copy himself. So he had them made, and they stood in waiting, like a woman who's going to be married. She's a lady in waiting. A lady in waiting in British culture. A lady in waiting. She's engaged, she's not married, but she's a lady in waiting. So Lord was a deity in waiting. Somehow he knew that when those deities disappeared from your vision, it would break your heart into a thousand pieces. And you would feel a deep spiritual emotion, which is called Viparlamba Bhava. Of course, it's not on the level of, you know, the gopis feeling separation from Krishna when he left Vrindavan to go to Mathura to kill Kamsa. There, their tears, they flooded Vrindavan with their tears of separation to the extent that the whole into the ground, the water basin is, they made it salty with their tears. So when you try to get fresh water in Vrindavan, it's very, you dig a well, it's very difficult because it's all salty because of the tears of the gopis they felt in separation from Krishna. So those sentiments we can worship from a distance. We can appreciate. You may not be able to understand, but we know that's the param bhutim. But our relationships with the devotees, our relationships with our spiritual master and Krishna, even at this stage, they're meant to gradually awaken those sentiments. Just like the sun rises very gradually and your eyes get accustomed. Right? It's dark and then there's a little few rays over the horizon. And finally, the sun is. If the sun just manifested in one moment, after darkness of night, as he does at the full noon, people's eyes would be injured. It's a gradual process. So devotional service is a gradual awakening of our Krishna consciousness through the step-by-step process of sadhana bhakti. At one time, a person in India, he criticized our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. "You're saying your devotees are practicing bhakti yoga. But bhakti is something very special. When we speak of bhakti, we speak of devotees, very advanced devotees like Hanuman, or devotees like Yudhishthira, Arjuna, Bhim, Nakul, Sahadev, devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, Vipul Nrisimhadev. These are transcendental personalities. So you can't say your devotees are practicing bhakti." So Prabhupada shot back. He said, "No, it is bhakti. They're feeling some sentiments for me," he said, like that. "They're feeling some sentiments for me, the representative of Krishna, and they're feeling some sentiments for Jagannath, Subhadra, Baladev, Radha Krishna, Gaurinitai. Because their sentiments are directed towards those transcendental personalities, because they're feeling some attachment to them, some affection for them, I say it's bhakti. They've transferred their attachment from all mundane society, friendship, and love. And they're struggling a little bit, but they're trying to love the Vaishnavas. They're trying to love the spiritual master. They're trying to love Krishna." So Prabhupada said, "It's bhakti. It's bhakti." And he gave the analogy. He said, just like you have a green mango and you have a ripe mango. Now generally, when we go shopping, we go shopping because we're going to make a fruit salad. Janabhamata made this amazing fruit salad the other day. She was even bragging about it. And rightfully so. Because she wanted me to taste it. And I don't eat very much fruit. I live with a fruitarian. But a hari can eat fruit three times a day. I eat it once a year. So Janabhamata was saying, "Guru Maharaj, you have to try the fruit salad." And I looked at it like, "Oh." Like when my mom used to ask me to eat my, you know, green peas. If she turned away, I'd stuff them under the pillow of the seat I was sitting on. One day she found it, like 3 weeks of green peas, and I got the spanking in my life. So she prepared apple crumble. Everywhere I go, apple crumble. No other leaders in ISKCON even know what apple crumble is. But somehow it became famous with my friends and well-wishers, and everywhere I go, there's a competition. We had apple crumble 3 days in a row in Dedenen, and we had apple crumble today. But it was yummy. We had apple crumble, we had cream. Don't tell Kosha Rupa, she's my dietitian, and we're not supposed to eat these things. And we had ice cream, and we had fruit salad. So when the fruit salad came around, I said, "No." And I started everything, and I said, "Yes." And it was really good. It was ripe fruit. Fruit is generally considered nice when it's ripe. You know, you see the mango in the market, and you can almost smell it from a distance. And you know that it's yellowish-orange, correct? And it has little black spots on it, just like bananas. They're sometimes green or yellow, but when they get that little black spots, that means time to eat the banana. So when you go to the market, you pick out the ripe mangoes. But every grandmother knows, all your grandmothers know and your mothers know, that one of the best parts of the meal is achar. Achar means the pickle, am I correct? And pickle comes from these green fruits. When they're green, they're not ripe yet. Because the achar has to be a little bit hard. You chew a little bit like that. You mix it with the spices and the chilies and the sugar and you melt it down. Achar. Today they served achar and nobody noticed. I kept saying, "Hey you guys, aren't you going to take any achar?" Nobody even responded. Can you eat your achar? Okay. others. So achar is made from green lemon, green lime, green mango. So Prabhupada gave this analogy. He said the achar, the green mango, is considered very valuable in the cuisine of India. It's appreciated, you could say, as much by the eater as is the ripe mango. So in the eyes of the Lord, or his representative, the spiritual preceptor, the ripened stage of devotional service, the fifth stage, Mahaprabhu said, the prema, the love of God, who would not appreciate those who know that state of love of God, highest state of love of God. Prabhupada said the gopis, they never ask Krishna for anything. A selfless love, not a touch of selfishness. As we always say, love means to give more than you take. So that's the gopis. They give everything, even at the risk of their reputation. And one who's been dishonored, one who's been honored, dishonored is worse than death. But for Krishna, the gopis will come when he's playing his flute in the forest for his pleasure. So certainly we can appreciate it from an intellectual point of view at this stage of devotional service. It's simply wonderful. But like the green mango is appreciated by the eater, so similarly the Lord and the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, they appreciate even the green bhakti of a new devotee. Well, that was Prabhupada's answer. So the Lord appreciated your budding devotion to him and your service to those deities. So he's reciprocated. He's appearing again very soon. I was surprised how developed that temple actually is. Prahlad was analyzing. He has a very analytical mind. He's a professor of both modern education and devotional service to the Lord. He can speak equally well on either subject. So when he was looking at the temple, he noticed that there were different levels of the wood in order to deal with the earthquake if it came again. Fear not. We hope not. But if something comes again, the building's built in such a way. And we were just there, and I'm a bit of a photographer, so I took like 57 shots of the building. It was so exciting. It just looked like, a wooden structure, any other wooden structure that's coming up in Christchurch, but we all know it's the most important structure in this historic town. Because there, the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya is taking root again. Sometimes there are setbacks in the progress of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. We shouldn't be naive. This is the material world. Sometimes there are setbacks, but devotees don't become discouraged because they know, they have faith in the Lord's words. For my devotees, yogik shemam bahamiham. For those who serve me, even the newcomers, Krishna says, I protect what they have and I provide what they lack, what they really desire, what they desire most, which is devotional service. So Lord sometimes there are setbacks, and we have to have faith that we keep going on and Krishna will help us reestablish our devotional service, our community, our worship. You look at what happened to Vrindavan, Aurangzeb. Out of envy, he was sitting in his ivory tower in Agra, looking out at his kingdom, because for many generations his forefathers had been ruling India. The Muslims were ruling India for a very long time. And he was in his tower and he looked towards Vrindavan, where the Hindus had their temples, where the Vaishnavas had their temples. And he saw that the tower of the light on top of the temple of Radha Govindaji was higher and more brighter than his palace. So this wave of anger overcame him. He was a tyrant. And he ordered his men, to his soldiers, to go to Vrindavan and destroy the town. One of his ministers had befriended one of the Goswamis in Vrindavan. So before the soldiers got to Vrindavan, the word had reached Vrindavan. And most, if not all, the major deities had been removed. And all the priests had also left Vrindavan. So Aurangzeb, you know, rode into town, and it's almost as if we don't want to even mention this history, but just to show you how there can be setbacks and there can be recovery by the devotion of the devotees, he destroyed so many floors of that Govindaji temple. It was an ancient marvel, actually. Even today, it's a protected monument because it's such a masterpiece of architecture. And other temples he destroyed as well, and so forth, and so on. He came to one very special place called Sringaravat. Sringaravat is the place where Krishna liked to sit with Radharani and decorate her with jewels. Sringara means like decorations. So on different occasions, Krishna would sit on the bank of the Jamuna, because the Jamuna ran past the Sringaravat. It's near Keshigad, near Madan Mohan Temple. And he would decorate Radharani. So when Lord Nityananda first came to Vrindavan, and he was walking through that transcendental town, he sat down to take rest under a banyan tree next to this exact spot where Krishna would decorate Radha. So the devotees, to commemorate both the pastime of Krishna decorating Radha and Lord Nityananda, Lord Balaram and Kali, Lord Balaram in previous age, now Nitai, the companion of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they built a beautiful temple there next to the banyan tree that Nitai sat under, and where the rock where Krishna would sit and decorate Radharani. Very sacred place. So one by one, Aurangzeb was going about this town. Vrindavan's not very big. If you take a bird's eye view, if you had a helicopter, you'd be surprised how small it is, actually. It's kind of long, not so long, maybe a mile at most, and maybe a few hundred yards wide. It's not very big. So he was going temple to temple like that, and he came to this temple. But these Goswamis, they were so surrendered to their deity, they were ready to give up their life for those deities. Prabhupada said sometimes in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, great personalities have had to sacrifice their lives to protect the Lord or the devotees or Krishna consciousness. Sometimes it gets really heavy. And they made the ultimate sacrifice. So these Goswamis, they came out. Aurangzeb came with his big sword, and his soldiers had spears and riding horses. And the Goswamis, four or five Goswamis, they came out with sticks. And Aurangzeb said, you know, what are you doing? We're prepared to defend our Lord. Just as you will defend your Lord, Allah, we will defend our Lord, Krishna, who are actually the same person. Aurangzeb said, what are you talking? Yes, we will die for our Lord. So come on. Yeah, there's sticks. Yeah, people carry sticks like this. So Aurangzeb said, look at this soldier. And he said, these men are, this is amazing. Look at the courage they have, the devotion they have to God. He took it like that. There was a, sometimes there's a moment of badness in good people, and there's a moment of goodness in bad people, vice versa. So he said, all right, so I'm impressed. I won't touch your temple. I'm so impressed. And he gave them a big pot of gold to continue their worship. So the Pujaris, they took the gold and they threw it into the river in front of him. Like, we don't need your gold. What are you doing? So then he was like, what is this? So then one of the Pujaris said, that wasn't such a good idea. So he went in, went into the river, and he picked up two pots of gold out of the Jamuna River and brought them and gave them to Aurangzeb. Aurangzeb said, you devotees, these are different. So he said, I bequeath this property to you. He was a king. Aurangzeb, he bequeathed this land to those Goswamis. And he wrote in his own handwriting a proclamation that he was bequeathing that property to those Goswamis. And I was recently at that temple, and the Goswami, the modern-day Goswami, he said, he pulled out that deed and showed it to me. I was looking at it, and there was Aurangzeb's signature. I didn't know what I should do, but I looked at it. It was just a quirk, kind of, in history. And then he came back the next day, Aurangzeb, and he said, I'm so much impressed by your devotion. It's touched my heart that you valiantly stood up for your God. I brought with me one horse, and I'm putting a red flag in the saddle of the horse, and I'll slap the horse, and it will run in that direction across the river Jamuna. And as far as you can see that flag, that land and those villages shall be yours for as long as my kingdom reigns. And he did that. He slapped that horse. And that horse charged and swam across the Jamuna, went several leagues into the distance to a place where devotees had built a monument, which later became a temple, to Lakshmi Devi, because Lakshmi Devi tried to come to Vrindavan too. She did austerities there, she did penances there, but she couldn't actually make it into Vrindavan, kind of on the edge there, because she couldn't give up her attachment to opulence, because she's Shri. And devotees give up Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavachanavada, Kadisha Kamaye, Mamajanamijanamishwa. They give up anything and everything for the pleasure of Krishna. So she couldn't give up that sense of... So, but she has her temple there, and the devotees worship her, because ultimately Lakshmi is an expansion of Radha, just as all the Vishnu forms are an expansion of Krishna. So the seven villages and the Lakshmi temple became part of that, those Goswami's area. So misfortune somehow or other turned into fortune. And time went on, and the British came, and the British gave mostly full facilities for the Hindus to worship as they desired, and Vrindavan was rebuilt. Again, the temples were rebuilt, and the devotees since that time have been worshipping very nicely. So we can't be discouraged when there are setbacks, because this is the material world, and sometimes we have to expect these things. But just as Prabhupada's devotion for Krishna manifested as so many temples, so many farms, so many schools, so many books distributed in Western countries, similarly your devotion for your beautiful deities who are in waiting in Auckland is now manifesting as that wooden structure. And I know how much you've gone through. I mean, I don't know, because I can only imagine what this community has gone through. But when you get your temple back, and those same deities, the twin brothers, I'm calling them, because they look exactly like those original deities, and it can only be the plan of the Lord. This is all a pastime. It's all a pastime to increase your devotion to Sridhar Prabhupada and Lord Krishna. Just like Prabhupada had to go through so much. He's a pure devotee. He's Krishna's dearmost. And look what he had to go through in Mumbai. It was a big fight. Actually, physically, the temple, you know, the city council would send hoodlums there to try to break down whatever we established to worship Radharasa Bihari. Mr. Nair was, you know, directly opposed to a pure devotee Sridhar Prabhupada, and he almost won Mr. Nair. He almost got that property back. He sold that property to someone else before he sold it to us. And he didn't even own the property. What a rascal he was. He never owned that property. He sold it to someone else, and he sold it to us. It was a nightmare. And he caused Prabhupada so much anxiety. And when Prabhupada finally got the news of the telephone that Mr. Nair had passed away, Prabhupada put down the phone and he said to his secretary, Shamasundar, He said, I prayed to Lord Nisringadev to take him out of the picture. He says, please don't repeat that. And after it was all done, Prabhupada sat back in his asana. He said, it was a good fight. And what was the result? The devotees were much more attached to Srila Prabhupada. They said, served him in those intense circumstances. It was a real life experience. They really had to chant good rounds. They really had to pray. They really had to work hard. They had to serve. It was all Krishna's plan just to get them to be more attached. The ways of the Lord are mysterious. And now that temple is one of the most successful projects in ISKCON. It reaps in, you know, millions and millions of dollars every year. They have two or three schools. People come by the hundreds of thousands to see the deities. And those original devotees who fought on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, they have a special memory. They have a special attachment. I've met them, Giriraj Swami. And, you know, they have such an affection for their... They're really Prabhupada men and Prabhupada women. Because they gave everything to have that temple built. But it was all, you know, Krishna could have arranged that it just was a sweeping victory from day one, but the Lord works in mysterious ways. So whatever happened to us, we should accept that as the Lord's mercy and respond. If there's good times, let the good times roll. Get out there and harina, make hay where the sun shines, and chant and dance and feast. But if you live in communist Russia, you can't go out on the street and chant and dance. You have to use your intelligence to spread the Sankirtan movement in other ways, through cooking demonstrations, cultural programs, meeting your neighbors individually. In this way, the movements. We respond according to time and circumstance. So you all responded very nicely. It was a great tragedy for this country that, you know, established deities met the so-called fate that they did. And you haven't had a community's a place to worship. That's why temples are so important. Now you know how important a temple is. Maybe some of you weren't going to the temple regularly, remember? You were too busy. You got a little bit spaced out. You got attracted to Maya. Instead of the Sunday feast, you went to the Sunday movies. And some of you were at the cricket match, you know, Christchurch versus Auckland, instead of the Friday night program. These things go on. Maya's very powerful. You know, maybe you... But now when you get your temple back, it's going to be a different story, isn't it? You're going to be so grateful. And you're going to attend each and every program. And when you go there, you're going to be so inspired. You're going to chant 16 good vows every day. And you're going to study. And you're going to go out and you're going to preach. It's a blessing. It's going to be a whole. It's just on the horizon. It's like Christmas. Remember when you were little and, you know, New Year, Christmas Eve, you couldn't sleep all night because in the morning you get up and all the presents would be under the Christmas tree? When I drove past that temple, I was thinking, what a party it's going to be when that place opens up. That is going to be a real celebration. And as a result, your devotion for the Lord has increased. So he put you through the test, and you passed the test. They call that ordeal by fire. Gold, when you take it from the earth, is, well, it's not very beautiful, actually, because it has certain impurities in it. I don't know if you know that, but I used to do pan for gold in the Sierra Nevada mountains sometimes in the summer because the old timers were still up there panning for gold. So we'd go up and sometimes we'd get I remember the first time I was trying to learn from one 90-year-old guy how to pan gold. I was like 16. I'm like, man, where's the gold, man? He'd go like this. And they said, there it is. I said, where? I said, it's there. Where? He picked out this brown, kind of yellowy gold. I said, that's a gold nugget. I said, no, it's not. Yes, it is. He said, you put it through the fire, and the impurities come out, and it's gold. So that's what they do with gold. They take gold, and they put it through a process, either chemically or in the old days by fire, and the beauty comes out. So that analogy is there. ordeal by fire, purification by fire. So you went through some hard times, but it's all coming to a close now. It's coming to an end. The most difficult thing has been separation from the devotees. Now you want to be with the community whenever they meet, isn't it? Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, what is the most painful thing in this world? And you can think of so many things. You know, operations in the hospital, you know, migraine, headaches, you know, divorce, so many things. But Ramananda Roy replied, the most painful thing in this world is to be bereft of the association of devotees. And you've had to go through that for a couple of few years now, because you're coming together and you're meeting, but what if you had a temple and the deities are there waiting for you and the arctic's going on and there's a Sunday feast and, you know, you'll make it happen that you'll go to the morning programs, that, you know. But I remember the old days, I was calling up, who's at the morning program? Well, there's the speaker. Anybody else? The pujari behind the curtain. Uh-oh. But I know some temples, you know, before they go to work, they catch half the class. So I'm sure that when the opening day comes and that temple becomes active again, you're going to be very, very grateful. And when that moment that curtain opens, and there's the same deities, literally. It's the same gore, it's the same nitya, it's not different. And the form is exactly the same. So you're going to see them, and tears are going to flow from your eyes like torrents of rain. So Krishna's a great trickster, and the ways of the Lord are mysterious. So it's going to be a wonderful day. When are you planning to have that grand opening? Is there some prediction, some plan down the road?
January.
A year? Two?
January.
January. Oh my God. What a hurry. We're planning to be in Australasia in January. Can we come?
Yeah.
That's a wonderful contribution to the 50th book. It'll be 51, but that's okay. You get a little bit of slack there. That'll be a great contribution to the 50th year celebration of Srila Prabhupada's voyage to America, a temple, an earthquake-proof temple in Christchurch that will go on for many, many years to come. And when you're back in action, then when you're fired up in Krishna consciousness, then the people of this city will also become fired up in Krishna consciousness. We went on Harinam yesterday in Dunedin, and it was a nice Harinam. People were really, you know, a lot of people were reciprocating, saying hi, shaking hands. It's unusual. And it's because I was told one devotee, what's his name?
Karuna Sindhu.
Karuna Sindhu, disciple of Jananda Maharaj, like his Guru Maharaj, he's fired up for kirtan. He goes out many days a week by himself, and he chants Hare Krishna and hands out bags of nuts and raisins. So I was thinking, you know, I heard he's tone deaf. I don't know. But it's the holy name. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati. Sometimes he would pick someone in amongst his group who would chant off-key so people wouldn't appreciate the kirtan just for the melody, but for the holy name. So he's going out and he's handing out these packages of nuts, raisins, and it's got dates in it, it's got almonds in it, it's got cashews in it. I said, oh, someone gave me a pack. I put it in my pocket because it looked so yummy. I thought if I get hungry on the plane, I'll eat it. Which I did. He's here?
Yeah, he's down.
Stand up. Let's give a big round of applause for this Saint Kitanero. So I always say that Krishna consciousness is blissful when it's expanding. So when you get your enthusiasm back, right? You're like the lotus flower that was closed during the night, but when the sunshine comes, the lotus flower opens up and begins to blossom. So now's the blossoming period in your spiritual lives again. And if you become enthusiastic in all your temple activities, and then you take it to the streets again, you can take a sad song and make it better. That's Christchurch. People are still sad here. They're still sad. So you have to make them happy again. You have to take a sad song and make it better. Who said that? Dr. John. John Lennon. So you have to take a sad song and make it happy. Just imagine, you know, it's going to take 30 years to put this city together, if that. But in the midst of all that, if you go and show them what is real happiness, real happiness comes from within. Real happiness is reconnecting with Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure, taking up the same life of devotional service. If you go out in the streets and preach, then you'll make the sad song a better song. And let me tell you, our experience is that people are more receptive to spiritual life when they're in a difficult situation than otherwise. This is a perfect opportunity for preaching Christchurch. You should be careful not to fall prey to the lamentation of the local people, your city, your buildings. You know, a sage is equipoised in happiness and distress. He understands why these things happen, how they happen, but he also understands the alternative. So you can, you know, express a cry of grief, but you shouldn't remain despondent like many people in this town. You should see it as an opportunity to preach, because Krishna says four types of people surrender to him. The curious, the person who needs some facility, the person looking for knowledge, and the person who's in distress. It's easier for them to like want to hear a positive alternative, a spiritual message. So you are coming, this is the dawning of a new era for the Christ Church Yatra. It's very exciting. You're getting a new temple. You're all going to come together as one congregation. A family that prays together stays together. You're no longer having to be separated. You'll never again complain that the temple room's crowded. And you'll go for the kirtans. You'll chant your rounds. You'll do service at the temple. You'll become serious. Many of you will get initiated. This difficult setback will make you a stronger community. And on the strength of that community, you can go out and you can make this a better place. You have a very receptive audience with the message of Krishna consciousness. If you can get the people to come to your beautiful new temple and feed them up to the neck, give them a little philosophy, and get them to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. The word will spread, and Christchurch will be back on the map again. You know, people know it as a place of disaster, but there can be like a spiritual awakening here. Seriously, there can be a spiritual awakening here that the rumors of that will rumble through all the spiritual circles in New Zealand, and people will give you credit. Prabhupada did it. He came to America. He changed people's lives. He changed, you know, a whole generation in one way. So I think, you know, who can understand the way the Lord works? But I can foresee the dawning of a new era here, starting next January. That's New Year's Eve. Your New Year's resolution will be, I'll be part of this community. I'll be at the temple any moment I can. I'll practice good sadhana, and I'll follow Prabhupada's instructions to go out and distribute books and chant Hare Krishna. Instead of just a ragtag group of six or seven people like we did last year, 2 years ago. No criticism there, but you can have a beautiful Harinam. All the girls can be dressed nicely with gopi das, and you can have flags and banners and festoons and smiles on your faces, and you can follow the example of this wonderful devotee who single-handedly is practically spreading the Sankirtan movement on the streets of Dunedin. Janava Mata, she's preaching at the university. She's got her hands full. But that Prabhu is going out And he's chanting, and his pure vibration is touching the hearts of the people, and he's giving them prasadam, and he's made his mark. I saw it. People were waving at me, they were shaking my hand, they were smiling. It's one man's work. Imagine if you get your temple back and you have your beautiful Gaurani Thai. And what do Gaurani Thai want? They want you to go out on Sankirtan. They're going to push you out of the temple. Okay, take a good look at me and now get out of here and preach Krishna consciousness. That's what they want. Deity worship means to please the Lord. So you can get the nice clothes, you can decorate the deity, you can give the garlands and give nice prasadam. But if you don't follow Lord Chaitanya's command, that whomever you meet, wherever you go, reveal to them, speak to them about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, give them the holy name. But that's not real deity worship. The deity worship will be perfected when you go out and you bring people back to see that beautiful form of Krishna and taste the wonderful prasadam. I remember, I've traveled the world far and wide, and I'm very sad because I haven't had a real Lemington in many, many years. Anybody been to Avineshwari? I tell them in Moscow, can I go to Lemington? What? Someone told me that's a mouse. Somewhere. We don't have those mice here. Yeah. I haven't had, and not even allowed to have it. I'm not supposed to, you know, take milk products or sugar with my diet, but I'll break that diet if someone gives me that. You bring them there, give them this revolutionary Krishna prasad, and when you see the people of the city becoming happy again because you're spreading the real medicine, Divya Gyan, transcendental knowledge by which one can conquer over this material energy altogether and go back home, back to Godhead. When you do the real welfare and you see those people smile, that will be your greatest happiness. So don't be despondent, don't complain, don't get depressed. That's finished now. You went through that. As the Bible said, there's a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to sow, a time to reap. That's all behind you now. You're on the verge of the dawn of a new era when your temple gets built. You should be making plans, working with your temple president and the management who have done so much to stabilize this community for so many years now. And get ready for a great adventure. Just like Kurma Prabhu, he wrote about Prabhupada's visit to Australia. He called it the transcendental adventure or something like that. So, yeah, you've got a lot ahead of you. And we'd be very glad to come back and participate in our small, humble way by chanting with you in the temple and on the streets, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Sri Sri Gaurani Thai Ki. The new Christchurch Temple Ki. The congregation Ki. ISKCON New Zealand Ki. Worldwide ISKCON Ki. Back home, back to Godhead Ki. Take all the fallen souls with us Ki. For payment and name.